Thank you for this day, Lord. We pray for our kids downstairs as they hear your word. Lord, we ask that you would bless them, encourage them. Lord, we thank you for their hearts. We thank you for the blessing they are to us, Lord. And we just ask that you would speak through our teachers downstairs, Lord, that they would just be empowered by your Holy Spirit to minister the love of your word, the gospel to them, Lord. We pray if there's any kids that don't know you yet, Lord, that they would be moved by you, Lord, in their heart of hearts, and they would receive you. And for those who do know you, Lord, we ask that they would be encouraged in their faith, and they would be able to surrender another thing that they're holding on to, Lord. Lord, we pray the same thing for us, big kids upstairs. Bless us and make us a blessing. Be with us. Empower us through your word today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we got our very last week in the book of 1 Corinthians. We are coming to a close. And as we do that, one of the things that I want to share with you guys is where we're going to be going over the next 6 weeks. One of the main questions that I hear over and over that from Christians, from non-Christians, but from a lot of Christians and who are working through it is, can I lose my salvation? Can I lose my salvation? If I come to Jesus, is there anything that can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. We're going to go over for 6 weeks, the scripture which supports that you are saved by the work of Christ, not by your goodness. Okay, and we're going to look at the challenges and the questions and the scriptures that challenge that. That if you take out of context, can look like, boy, is it saying the opposite of that? But we're going to dive into it. We're going to spend 6 weeks, and for the first 2 weeks and the second 2 weeks and the third 2 weeks, we're going to have one of the elders come up for about 3-4 minutes and share a little bit of their heart on that specific topic. So I'm excited for you guys to be able to hear from the elders as well as myself. And just a chance for us to really say, what does the scripture say? Because what I say doesn't matter. My opinion is worth nothing. I'm the pastor of this church, and my opinion is worth nothing. Because what matters is God's word, God's truth, God's life-giving, eternal truth. All right, so we're continuing on in 1 Corinthians. It's our last week here. So just a little review. As we hit the first 11 chapters of the book of 1 Corinthians, we really looked at the problems and the challenges in the church. We were looking at immorality and divisions in the church of Corinth and how that applies to us. We were looking at the challenges of being married and being single. And we were looking at gender roles and authority and communion. And there was just a lot of challenges and a lot of areas of sin and struggle that the church in Corinth was dealing with that we can relate to here, can't we? And then as we continued on in chapters 12 through 15, Paul turned from the issues of carnality to spirituality. And he dealt with the role of the Holy Spirit in us and in the church. And we hit a lot of topics in that area, and dealing with the gifts and dealing with the resurrection and how the Holy Spirit works through his people and in the church and how God still is moving powerfully today. But as he works, he's a God of order. And so he works in a way that blesses all. And encourage and gets the focus off of us and onto him. And here we hit the final requests. Today, chapter 16, we're dealing with the whole chapter, and it's the final requests. And it kind of focuses on three areas: giving, setting schedules, and working with others. And I got to tell you, my least favorite thing to preach on is giving. And you know why? Because so many people misuse the pulpit in this way that it's offensive to me as well as most people just right off the bat. You know, so many times men and women, people stand up and they stand for God in the pulpit and they make money more valuable than our Lord and Savior. They make God's church into a business. And guys, it hurts my heart that we've perverted the gospel in such a way that we try and use God, misuse God, so that we can get for ourselves. May it never be. Guys, so we're gonna kind of start with the last verse from last week and go into the final chapter. Last week in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it said, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." That's where we ended last week. And what is that labor? And the next chapter goes into defining what that is. Chapter 16, Paul writes what it means to always give yourself fully in the work of the Lord, in giving and scheduling and in serving other people and loving them. But he begins with giving in the first four verses. Let's go through it. 1 Corinthians 16:1-4. "Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me." Paul speaks here about the Christians giving to help struggling churches in Jerusalem. You know, there's two big reasons why the church in Jerusalem was struggling. Number one is there's been a number of famines because of droughts that have come in. And so there's not a lot of food. And the second one is because the persecution of the church has started. And if you remember in Acts 1:8, it said, it was talking about the church and what they were called to do. And it said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we see in the beginning of Acts, the church grow and it just takes off. And thousands at a time are coming to him. And the church is growing. But something's happening with all that blessing. Nobody's leaving. And in Acts 1:8, he says, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And hear this, the gifts of the Spirit are plenty in the church, and it's growing. And everybody loves it so much that they stay right where they're at. And so the famines come. And then the martyr of Stephen being martyred is the beginning of the persecution of the church. And when Stephen is killed and Paul is the guy who wrote this book is the guy who's standing watching the coats. In other words, people treated him as the authority, the one in charge, as they went to go and kill Stephen. And this is the beginning of the persecution of the church that Paul, our author, is writing. And he partook of it until Acts 9 when he comes to the Lord. They had great fellowship, great teaching, manifestations of the Spirit, many converts, but nobody wanted to leave. And so these challenges came. And on the great day of persecution that it broke out, guess what happens? The people, they start spreading out, and guess where they go first? Judea and Samaria. Remember Acts 1:8? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth? They were in Jerusalem. They wouldn't leave. And they start going to the first two places that they were commanded to go. And one of the things I find interesting about that is God's will take place. And if he needs to be the bird in the nest who bumps them out of the nest, he's going to bump them out of the nest. If we need to be bumped out of the nest, God will do some serious bumping. So, I want to encourage you. Some of you should not be here in 5 years. I know that's a strange thing for a pastor to say. But some of you will not be honoring God if you're here. For some of you, you'll be called to another place, and you will need to go at that time. For others, you'll be called to a place not just down the road or in another area, but far, far away overseas, to the ends of the earth. Just another reminder, be praying for our missionaries. Be praying for them. Be lifting. It's tough being on the mission field. When you're out of your culture, you're in an area of what you don't fully understand. And you're also on the front line spiritually. And the enemy will not give up ground easily on the front lines. Okay, a few principles. Principles on regular giving that we see here. First of all, Mother Teresa said, if you give what you do not need, it isn't giving. I love that. If you give what you do not need, it isn't giving. You know, last night there was seven of us that I know of from this church and people from many churches and from the community supporting and being there for the Cry Out ministry that takes place and loves on kids in the community, and it has just incredible ways through teaching rap music and R&B and dance and other things, using the arts to connect with young people. It's a beautiful program, and there was a chance for people to give and to support what was taking place, and it was a beautiful thing to see. Those people who are in charge of that ministry, it was so neat to hear testimonies from the people who were coming up underneath them and saying, I want to do for other young people what they did for me. Praise God for that. Praise God for Cry Out. They're doing a good, good work. But one of the things we see here is it says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. And the first one here is he talks about giving on a regular basis. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. Now back then, they got paid at the end of every single day. And so they would put that money away. And what he's saying is every week come in and give some money and do it regularly. Guys, we're not called to tip God here. This is not where, hey, was the service pretty good? Then my tip will be a little bit higher than last time. It's a heart issue. It's not a money issue. It's a heart issue, guys. And we need to have hearts that take pleasure in loving God back. And we're not giving to the church for our own kingdom, we're giving to the church to build up the kingdom of God. And so money isn't enough, guys. It's not enough. We need to give of ourselves. We need your time. I mean, man, what took place last Friday night, that only happened because people gave of their time and their love. And it's a whole heart issue that's taking place. So we need to give regularly. Giving should also be proportionate. It says, in keeping with your income, save it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Make it a priority to give to the Lord's work. And don't only give through this church. Be a generous person. And if there's missions that you hear about that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, be willing to give. There's not one set way that I have to give through my church. You have license. We give you authority to give when we don't need to. But we want to encourage you, when God is leading you to give generously and with joy. And it doesn't have to be just through the church. This is one place where it's important to give. But have a giving heart. Take pleasure in giving what you have. And give proportionately. You know, a lot of people will look and they say, well, tithing is supposed to be 10%. And the Old Testament talks about tithing. But never once is tithing mentioned in the New Testament. It's not. It's not that we're to give 10%. It's that what we have
is the Lord's. And it says here that the idea is giving should be proportionate. So if God has blessed you, bless others greatly through the church, through other means. Bless others greatly. It means if you're out of work for a period of time, give your time away generously. The church needs your time. We need people to be serving and giving. If then you come back into a job, then you'll have less time, but give proportionately to what you have. Financially, give proportionately. If you're struggling, be wise. Bless and know that, I mean, I think of the widow's mite, and she gave all she had. So there's that aspect of it. But be wise in giving, but keep giving. But if you have to give a very small amount, that's okay. The amount is not what's important. What's important is the heart. And that you take pleasure in loving God back.
And the third area, it says, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to you, to the men you approve, and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. Giving is personal and should not come from manipulation or emotional blackmail. You see, Paul knew he had a very strong personality. Paul is, you know, it's amazing as you go through the books of the Bible and kind of, as you kind of figure out which books came first, he softens as he gets older, as many of us do. But he knew he had a strong personality, and he knew he had a great impact on people when he would preach sometimes. And so he's saying, you know what? Save your money now. Get it prepared now so that when I come, it's not about you feeling like, oh, I'm supposed to give. Or, wow, Paul preached a great message, so now, boy, here we go. He's saying, no, this is between, not for anything that man does. This is between you and God. So get it worked out with the Lord what you're going to give, and don't give according to how you feel in the moment. He wants our first fruits, meaning he wants us to prepare and say, what can we give? What can we give? And not just to the church, but in life. He wanted them to give freely and to give generously, and not because of strong appeals or manipulation. And then he goes from giving, and he goes and he talks a little bit about scheduling and how to live your life. And guys, we live in a world where everybody is extremely busy and unbelievably lonely. I'll never forget. Now, I've gotten kind of in the swing of it. Well, kind of. I've gotten completely in the swing of it myself. And struggling with that challenge. When we first came back from Uganda after serving there for 6 years, the thing that stood out so much was how busy everybody, even in the church, it wasn't any different than outside the church. People were so busy and going and doing and lonely. And I want to encourage you guys, if you're so busy, even busy doing stuff for God, slow down. You may need to put some things aside. That's okay. You know, we've got, there's quite a few people here who have a huge load in giving of their time. And I want to encourage you, if you're not involved in giving of your time, see how you can get involved and relieve that burden, some of that burden from those who are giving so much of their time. They're going to burn out. They're going to come to a place where they say, I can't do it anymore and never again. I'm done. And now because of exhaustion and not setting up proper boundaries, now they've got nothing to give for a season. That's a shame. We don't want that to happen to our people. We want people fresh. And when you're giving in the area that God has gifted you in, you're not exhausted. You're, as you serve, it's like eating. Oh, man, this is good. Eating good food. Yeah. So how to live your life. What does he say here? It says, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me and there are many who oppose me. First of all, what do we see here? Paul is setting immediate goals, but he's keeping flexible. He's setting goals, but he's not going out, okay, in 25 years. He's setting medium-sized, short-range goals, and with those, he's making it so it's flexible at the beginning. How beautifully indefinite Paul is here. You know, this is something we need to hear sometimes. In our overscheduled lives, if your life is overscheduled, slow down, take a deep breath, pray, and then start evaluating and listening to God. And as you're making plans, don't put yourself in a position where, you know, you're going to have to back. You know, one of the things that I've been done at times is I get so scheduled that all of a sudden I look down and I had this written here and I had this written over here. And all of a sudden I realize I've got two or three meetings in the next hour. How is this going to work? And sometimes we overbook ourselves and we're trying to go half an hour here and 20 minutes here and 10 minutes here. And we're just... Paul is flexible, but he sets goals. Work hard and rely on God to meet your needs. You know, Paul didn't have a Visa gold card. You know, he doesn't have unlimited funds. And so he sets goals, but he gives some flexibility because he knows that, you know what? I'm going to come if I can. Another thing that we see here is live on the edge, but be wise. You see, he says at verse 8, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door of effective work has opened up to me, and there are many who oppose me. This is Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover, and what he's waiting for is the weather to get better. You know, he had, three shipwrecks that we know of. But here he's waiting so that the weather will be better, so that travel is better. Because he knows if he comes during those next 50 days, it's going to be a mess. It's 250 miles where he's going, and it's a hard, hard journey. And he's being wise. At the same time, he's being living on the edge. He's going outside of his comfort zone. He's going to places where he's got to be dependent on people supplying his needs, because he doesn't have that gold card. Guys, I want to encourage you, if you're living in a way where you don't need God in any way in your life, something's wrong, and the Tower of Babel that you have built, it's not as beautiful as you think it is. It's not as it's not about us. It's not about our kingdoms that we build. It's not about, look and see what I did. Look at this church. Look at what we're doing. No, look at what God is doing. And you know, one of the things we saw on Friday night at the harvest party was it wasn't just our church, but it was another church. It was other churches that were involved, and we got to serve together. What does that say to the community when we've got churches that don't make it about my kingdom? But we make it about God's kingdom. And we're willing to serve each other and do things here and do things there and be... Praise God for that. That's the kingdom of God at work. It's not about us. We need to be willing to be on the edge and put ourselves in places where God must step in or we will fail. We have to be wise but bold. And the third area that I see is in verse 7. Be ready for ministry opportunities that God brings. It says, for I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. He's got his plans, but he's waiting for God to open up those opportunities for him to serve. Guys, don't make your mind up of what you're going to do without consulting God. We as church leaders, the elders and myself, man, pray for us. Because we're trying to set direction. One of the things that we're getting ready coming up here is setting the whole year on big things that we know of. At our next elders meeting, we're going to be talking about the next year and what goes on the calendar and when, so people can kind of set those dates earlier and we can be more in tune with everybody knowing what's going on. That's good. That's important. But we also need to not be so definite that we don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead. Pray for, as we prepare this calendar, pray for us that we hear from God and not from ourselves. I want to do this. No, I want to do this. Not. What a mess that would be. One of the things I love about serving at this church is that we've got men of God who are servants of God who lead this. Your elders are not name tag elders. You know, the one with the biggest and the shiniest name tag. Look at me. I've got authority here. They're not those guys. They're in the trenches doing the work. Serving, loving, giving, doing. I get paid to be the pastor. I don't get paid to be elders. Think about that, guys. Praise God for what they do. We are truly blessed because of our leadership here. And well, we'll go through the end quickly here. Verse 10. When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything in love. Paul's coming to the end of his communication, and he's trying to make sure that the guys that he's been working with, that he knows, that are serving, are taken care of. One of the things that I think is so important, he's also saying to the church, is these guys are ministers of the gospel. Value them, support them, encourage them, call them alongside of them. Care for those who serve as ministers of the gospel. We need to be caring for our missionaries, guys. We need to be caring for different ministries, you know, cry out. It was so neat to be a part of that last night. But to see what's going on, there's people in this community that are doing amazing things. And for those who are serving and giving of their time, and man, we need to support that and honor that. That honors God. Verse 15, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia. And they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunas, Achaeus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. Paul's lifting more people up, and he's saying, these guys are servants. These people are servants of the Lord. I want to encourage you guys, get involved. Be the kind of man, woman, child. It doesn't matter your age. Be the kind of person that you're involved in people's lives. You know, right now we have, as well as our elders and deaconesses, we don't have deacons right now, and we're looking for men to that
are being called by God to be deacons. What is it that we're looking for? Are we looking for people who are financially stable, who can be? No. Are we looking for people who are larger than life? No. See, one of the things that shows me and shows us that people are leaders in the church is, do people in their spheres of influence go to them when they have questions and concerns or when they're struggling in their lives? If a man makes some terrible decisions and his world is falling apart, who at the church is he calling for help to pray and get him back on the right track? Those are our future leaders. For our deaconesses, who are the women that other women are going to when they don't know what they're going to do? When things around them are changing and they have no control over what's going on? Or when everything's going really well and they're wondering, what do I do with this new success? How do I handle this blessing? Who are they going to with questions of life? The tough questions, those are our leaders. Paul's lifting these people up and encouraging. And just closing quickly, in verse 19, it says, "The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen." What's Paul doing here? Well, there's a lot of things that I could go to, but I want to just hit one that's kind of in the vein of where we've been going. You see, he's talking about other churches in the province of Asia. See, Paul's not just about what he's started, but people have come to faith through his ministry, and they've started things. And what's being said here is the churches work together for God's kingdom. Churches need to work together for God's kingdom. And guys, as you know, I've talked a little bit about it already. We've got churches in this community that are standing side by side. That is very unusual, and it's sin that that's unusual. The only reason that that's not the norm is because of the sin of men and women's hearts. The only reason that churches don't stand together is because they're more worried about what's going to happen. I'll never forget when I first got here, I went to a few different churches and to reach out and just say, "Hey, I wanted to meet you guys and let you know I'm new at Community Bible Fellowship." And they said, "Who are you here for?" I said, "Excuse me?" They said, "Who are you here for?" "For you." I wanted to say hi and just see, maybe, you know, just let you know, introduce myself, and maybe we could pray together. Really, who are you here for? You see, there's so often an idea, a mindset, and that's the norm. That's maybe not so spelled out so honestly at times, but it's felt and experienced behind the scenes. What's happening here, guys, is beautiful. We have churches that are not putting themselves first, but putting the kingdom of God and the work that we're called to do here in Skyway, here in South Seattle, in Tukwila, in West Seattle, in Renton, in Kent, in the South, general South Seattle area. God's called us to minister, and God's moving in a great way. And he's using even us. Praise God. Praise God. It's exciting. I'm excited. I'm excited with what God has done here. I'm excited with where he's taking us. Guys, it's not going to be easy, I promise you. There's going to be times where you get frustrated. There's going to be times where you don't understand what God is doing. There's going to be times where you're more than frustrated with God. Let me say that again. Is God perfect? Yes. I'm not. And sometimes when we relate to God, we're relating to him in a sinful way. But I want to encourage you, be honest with God. When you're feeling something, don't talk to him like you think you're supposed to talk to him and be fake. God wants you, not what you think you're supposed to act like. And as you're honest with God, he'll bring about the right heart quickly. If you know how we do with each other. Hey, how you doing? I'm fine. Good. You good? Good. Good. Okay. My life's falling apart. I think I'm going to, but I'm fine. Oh, yeah. No, don't do that with God. We shouldn't do it with each other. This is the church. When somebody struggles, we put our arm around them. At times, we need to kick them in the rear a little. At times, we need to put our arm around them. Let the Holy Spirit direct you which is appropriate at that time. Right? I tell you, I've had to have my rear end kicked a little bit a number of times, and I've had people who love me enough to do it. People who loved enough to say the hard thing, to say what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. Praise God for that. Okay. Guys, I encourage you. God's doing something special here, and we get to join him in what he's doing. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of 1 Corinthians, Lord. Father, there was so much in this book. We spent basically the last year in it. Father, I just ask that you would take the teaching of this last year, Lord, and it would not go and be put aside. Lord, I pray that you'd keep bringing us back to where you specifically would have us focus. And Lord, the things that you are teaching us through your word, Lord, don't let us go out and forget and deal with it later. Deal with you later. May we deal with you now. May we reach out to you and be dependent upon you and not on ourselves, Lord. I thank you for everybody here, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful family. Lord, we are so blessed here. You have blessed us so much with people who care, people who are involved in each other's lives, people who love others even when they're struggling. Lord, I pray that we would grow in that, because all of us struggle and we all need to be loved. And we're on this journey together. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and minds, Lord. We choose today. We choose to follow you. We choose to die to ourselves and to live to you. We choose to give you control of our life. Today. Today it's yours. We offer it to you. Use us so that we can be a blessing to many. Use us for your glory. May we get lost and you be seen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.